Veritas Wealth is an independent financial planning business focused on managing wealth. In this series, we share hard-earned insights gained through years of experience at the cutting edge of financial planning. To buy or not to buy? It is an age-old debate that is never easily put to bed. The truth is that no one answer will suit all situations. Getting on the property ladder as soon as possible has historically been the most popular stance. After all, you need somewhere to live. And if you can pay a bond instead of paying rent, you are acquiring an asset. But that probably involves getting a loan, and it will most likely take at least 20 years to pay it off. So, is buying a house really that important given the state of the world? There seems to be no straightforward answer to the complexity of buying a home versus renting one, and we all have our own unique situations, ideals, and priorities. But which option is the most financially savvy? And looking to the future, how can we set ourselves up now for a carefree retirement? So, Rick, is buying a house really that important given the state of the world and everything COVID-19 has taught us around remote working?
Yeah, look, Sean, like you said, there isn't one straight answer that fits everyone. You know, I think what COVID has taught us is that we are quite easily now able to work remotely. And this gives us the ability to move around and not live somewhere indefinitely. So this idea of being tied down to one place forever, you know, is not that appealing. You mentioned in your question, what is the most financially savvy decision? So I still do think that getting onto the property ladder is important from a financial planning point of view.
You say that, but buying a first-time home is becoming increasingly difficult. Is this only true in the context of South Africa?
No, not at all. It's pretty much across the world. First-time buyers are really struggling to get onto the property ladder. In certain countries, governments are trying to help. I mean, in the UK, for example, you know, there's sorts of incentives, there's tax breaks that they're offering to first-time buyers.
Why, out of interest sake, would the government want to do something like this?
You know, what they're trying to do is get the younger generation into opportunities where wealth creation is possible, and owning property is one of those. So I think it's a factor of trying to get, you know, the younger generation to be able to create wealth for themselves.
Mm. Okay, you say that, and speaking about the younger generation, we've already said that getting onto the property ladder is becoming more and more difficult. And many will also say on top of that, that buying a property is the single biggest financial decision that one will ever make. So my question then is it not too risky a strategy for you to have all your eggs in one basket?
Yeah, look, it is a big financial decision. Make no mistake. Buying a home, you know, or buying a property takes courage, it takes commitment, and you definitely need a long time horizon. You know, you need good earnings ability because you need to service that bond. But the most important thing here, or one of the most important things we believe, is that you shouldn't give up on your other monthly retirement savings when you purchase a home. So you're not just putting everything in one basket. I mean, in the beginning, it's going to feel a bit like that, but you certainly want to continue saving and in that way diversifying. I mean, the scary part of buying a home is that you really are borrowing money from a bank and you're buying something that you actually can't afford without a loan. And I think that is what makes it feel really scary.
Yeah, very much larger than life when you put it that way. Now, the argument for buying versus renting a home often goes along the lines of, why would you spend your whole life paying off somebody else's bond when you could be paying off an asset then, you know, that you have in your own name? So to this end, what are the benefits to having a bond hanging over your head?
Yeah, I think anyone with a bond will tell you that it's one of the big debit orders that comes off your bank account just after payday normally. And it's generally quite a big number and it's top of mind, you know, it sharpens the senses. So you make sure that you have money in your bank account when that bond debit order comes off. So it's a priority. And, you know, having a bond makes you just grow up and it makes you become a little bit more responsible. So we believe that there is a benefit to having a bond. and in our mind, it's because it's an enforced savings plan. So every month that you pay you reduce your bond. Yes, you are paying an interest charge, but you are reducing the capital amount. And by doing that, you're creating a little bit of equity every month in your home, and you're basically creating a valuable asset over time.
Yeah, and you're quite right, though, when you phrase it like you're being forced to save. That is very true. Now, let's say, for example, that I am on the fence about buying a home, and I'm not quite sure if it's a good time for me to take that financial leap. When would it be a bad move for me to buy a property? Are there certain things that I can go, oh, actually, check this, check that, it's not a good time for me to do so?
Yeah, I think there's a few things, you know, you need to consider. And I would say if you've got a very short time horizon, you know, if shorter than 5 to 7 years, you're not going to really even make back the transactional costs of buying a property. So I would say you need at least sort of 10 years really to think about purchasing a property. You know, if you're in a precarious situation at work, if, you know, your job prospects aren't great, if you maybe, let's say your work is looking to move you somewhere else, you know, then I would say kind of delay until things settle. If you're a commission earner, let's say, and your income is a little bit all over the place and it's a bit unstable, then I would also wait that out a little bit and see if it settles. And then probably one of the most important, it's like with any big financial decision, if you're in a very emotional state of mind because you're going through a transition, like a life transition, I would also delay. So, you know, maybe you've lost a loved one or you're going through a divorce. You know, I think making a big property decision during those times is not a good idea. I would just hold off.
Right. Okay. Well, now let's flip the coin. Let's say I am financially stable and I am in it for the long term. Now, what external factors, things outside of my control, do you think I should consider before making a purchase?
You need to think long term here, and you need to think about, you know, where you're buying. You know, you just need to make sure you're buying the right property for you, and you need to be sort of projecting yourself into the future, you know? And then sort of external factors that you mentioned, I would say you need to really stretch yourself as far as interest rates. So, you know, test what that would do to your monthly payments. So look at your bond or your potential bond and say, well, what happens if interest rates go up by, you know, 5%, 6%, 7%, you know, more, whatever, like really stretch it and see if you can afford it, because you need the ability to service your bond. Probably affordability is the most important thing that you need to check.
I recently read, I don't know if you've seen this, but that homeowners have a net worth that is more than 40 times greater than their renting counterparts, which really does reinforce the idea that owning a home is a smart financial move. So if we are saying that it is a smart financial move to buy a home, then what on the flip side would the benefits be to renting a house instead?
Yeah, look, there are benefits to renting, make no mistake. I would say the big one is flexibility. You know, if you don't want to be tied down, you want to be able to move around. And look, that's very appealing. You know, some people really like the freedom of being able to up sticks, move and stay somewhere else. And especially, you know, with what COVID has taught us, you know, you can literally work from anywhere. So it gives this opportunity of being able to experience different parts of the country, different parts of the world, and renting is the only thing that really makes that possible. You certainly can't go and buy a home and move and buy a home. It's not going to work. I suppose the last thing is renting is generally, and I'm going to say generally, cheaper. You can generally rent places cheaper than what you can buy them for. So that makes, you know, living in a certain property quite affordable compared to if you were buying it. But I mean, the downside to that is, you know, you're not creating anything. You're not creating any wealth there. It's a sunk cost, your rent.
And staying on that wealth and projecting, let's look to the future then and say that I hope to one day retire. That's fact. And to achieve this, I would want to be financially stable. So with everything that you've already said about owning versus renting, would I be in a stronger financial position if I had rented throughout my life or if I had paid off a bond? And having said it, I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, look, you kind of answered it in your question earlier. I mean, look, historically, certainly owning a property, it has been, you know, a much better result when it comes to creating wealth. You know, property prices in South Africa over the long term have definitely beaten inflation quite handsomely, actually. I mean, things have slowed down a little bit over the past few years, but historically, you've beaten inflation. So it's made sense to own property. Now, that's not to say that it's going to continue, but look, we still believe that it makes sense to certainly own the home that you're going to live in. So we actually encourage younger clients that we're meeting to get onto the property ladder as soon as they can, as soon as they can afford it, as soon as they've saved enough for a deposit and their earnings good enough to apply for a bond. So we think that they should borrow as much as they can afford, and affordability is important here. And especially if they've got good earnings prospects. So they may be younger and they're starting out and, you know, we're expecting their earnings to increase by more than inflation, let's say. Then we're telling them to kind of stretch themselves, back themselves, that they'll get through this kind of initial crunch time.
Yeah, and be courageous. Okay, now I have decided to be courageous. I'm going to take the plunge. I now decide that I am going to buy a home. What else? What do I do next, Rick?
Yeah, so that's a good question. A lot of people rush out and go and look at properties and then realize that they can't afford it. And, you know, that's like, it's just not a good result. So what we would say you should be doing first is actually go and find out what you are able to borrow. So you need to go and see the bank or a mortgage provider and go and see from an affordability point of view what you or you and your spouse can borrow, and obviously what savings you have, and you put that together and see what you can afford. At the same time, when you get closer to buying, you also need to negotiate that rate. I mean, I think a lot of the interest rate that you're being charged, because I think a lot of people overlook that. Now, that bond's going to be sitting with you for, you know, 20, 30 years even, you know. Hopefully not if you're aggressive at paying it down, but certainly you're going to be paying a lot of interest. And what we want to try and do here is get your bond down, your bond rate down, and you do that upfront. It's not like something you go and negotiate, you know, every year.
Yeah.
So, you know, people kind of overlook that. They're only too happy to get a bond, but they don't really look at what rate they're paying. So it's always a factor of prime, so it's prime plus or prime minus. Nowadays, it's very hard to get much more than prime minus one. But honestly, I would can't emphasize enough. It's important to really be aggressive on trying to get a good rate. And then probably the next thing, well, one of the things you certainly need to consider is making sure that you have that you've got enough saved for a deposit, you know, and then you're going to have some fees, which I think most people are quite surprised when they buy. They get hit with all these fees that they weren't sure of. So do your homework. You're going to be paying some transfer duty, some conveyancing probably. And then, of course, you've got to furnish your home. You can't just, you know, have nothing in it. So you're going to have to just think about that as well.
Yeah, which can be a very exciting part if you have the cash aside to furnish your home.
Absolutely.
So if you have a long-term view and are serious about your financial affairs, it certainly is a good idea to get on the property ladder as soon as possible. Thanks for your time, Rick. Thank you for listening to the Veritas Wealth Podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with others and visit veritaswealth.co.za for more on managing your wealth. Veritas Wealth, real people, real conversations. A place where money and life meet.